Romans 14. Verse 13. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this, rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. We're going to spend one more day on the stumbling block and see if we can see what an incredible deal that is. Stumbling block is the same as the word that's translated offense. In Greek, it's scandalon. And in our minds, we think that offense means if I say something that offends you. But that's not what this offense means, nor is it the stumbling block. The stumbling block is if I in any way enhance your self-actualization or self-realization as opposed to the preaching of the cross. If there's ever a how-to, that's the stumbling block. Now, this has been from the beginning. Let's see if we can trace this. We've studied this before, but let's go to Matthew 21.
It's interesting, your comment to somebody, Ronnie, the other day was about how people get kicked out of here. And that's the way. We just stumbled with drugs. You're talking about drugs right now.
Verse 33. Hear another parable. There was a certain householder was planted a vineyard and hedged it round about and digged a wine press in it and built a tower and let it out to husbandmen and went into a far country. And when the time of the fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandmen and that they might receive the fruits of it. And the husbandman took his servants and beat one and killed the other and stoned another. And again he sent other servants, greater or more than the first. And they did like unto them, and they did unto them likewise. But last of all he sent unto them his son, saying, they will reverence my son. But when the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and let us seize in his inheritance. And they caught him and cast him out of the vineyard and slew him. And when the Lord therefore of the vineyard cometh, what will he do unto those husbandmen? And they say unto him, he will miserably destroy those wicked men, and will let out his vineyard unto other husbandmen, which shall render him the fruits in their season. And Jesus said unto them, did you never read the scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore I say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a people bringing forth fruits thereof. Excuse me. And whosoever shall fall on the stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. And when the chief priests and the Pharisees had heard his parable, they perceived that he spake of them. But when they sought to lay hands on him, they feared the multitude, because they took him for a prophet. This parable showed that once they killed his son, that was it for the human race. Flesh is no more to be tested. This is settled, that it's hopeless, it can't be fixed. And in spirit, that's what your baptism seals. So if you put the stumbling block is anything that enhances your life. And this is, we talked about it the other day, this is the great transgression. This is the fruit of the fall. But here, even one more time after Jesus' resurrection, he gave them one more chance. Let's look at that, John 20. Verse 19. And the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then Jesus said unto them, Again, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so I send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them, and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they can be remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. Now this is the first example of after Christ of the prosperity gospel. Because what happens? Let's go to John 21. What?
I'm trying to just grok what you...
Jesus just breathed the Holy Spirit on them, on the flesh. It's the last time that the flesh had an opportunity.
Okay.
It's a big deal. After in verse chapter 21, verse 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and in this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas, called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. And again, this is the words in the Greek for this. It doesn't mean they're going to go fishing for the weekend. It means they're returning to their old life. You've got to hear this. You just breathe the Holy Spirit on them. The first thing they did, they decide they're going to use this to benefit themselves. So they're going to go back to their old lives, but now with the power of God behind them. Everybody grok this? Sounds like anybody?
No. What is back in their old lives mean exactly?
They were fishermen. They were returning to their profession as opposed to the apostleship.
Okay.
What?
You can't be a fisherman and an apostle.
I'm not... That's not the point. The point is these 12 apostles were critical in the ministry of Christ. That they be full-time committed only with no other life. This is a unique situation. It's the only time in history that the Holy Spirit was breathed on the flesh like this. So what did they do? They say, let's go, we're going to return. Peter took seven of the disciples and said, we're going to go back to being fishermen.
It's like giving up or something, like this isn't working,
Well, and even that, we don't know what the exact motivation is, but we can guess.
That's what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Is it mixing the world and the spirit?
Yes. It's doing exactly what Kenneth Copeland is doing. Now watch. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. And they say unto him, We go also with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately. That night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. This is one of the great mysteries. This is the third time he appeared unto them, and they didn't know it was him again. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have you any meat or any food? They answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it in for the multitude of fishes. Therefore the disciples whom Jesus had loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and he did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. And as soon as they were come to him, to land, they saw fire and of coals there, and fish laid thereupon, and bread. And Jesus saith unto them, Bring of the fish which you have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land, full of great fishes, 153, and for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. And Jesus said unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, Who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Then Jesus cometh and taketh bread and giveth him fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to the disciples. After that he was risen from the dead. So then they had dined. When they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Now what is he talking about? What's the these?
Fish.
Remember, love here is the verb. Are you giving more importance to this barn, these fish, than you do to me? You're doing it again, Gary.
I'm getting it.
Okay. Remember, agapeo is the verb. This means to give importance to, give breath to. He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Then feed my lambs. Lambs don't eat fish. And he saith unto him again the second time, Son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. And he saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And Peter was grieved, because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things, thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, Feed my sheep. Now, the reason he said feed his sheep three times is because Peter had denied him three times before the crucifixion. And so, here he was giving Peter the marching orders. And Peter knew exactly what he's talking about. He's not talking about feeding him bread and water and fish. He's talking about feeding him the bread of life. And then he said, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou degirdest thyself and walkest whither thou would. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thine hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou goodest, where thou wouldest not. Thus spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me. Then Peter, turning about, and seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved, following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith unto Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do? And Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Now, to me, this certified that the last possible time for the flesh to have any merit happened when Jesus breathed the Holy Spirit on them. But now this is finalized. The flesh, your flesh, which is all your sensory perception, your ideas, your thoughts, have no frigging function except as a vessel. And our only job is to be that vessel. Amen? Amen. Flesh is no more to be tested. It's certified. It's finalized. The best that flesh can do is bring forth fruit necessary for repentance. What?
Well, anything other than that is saying the sacrifice wasn't adequate. There's still things I can do, should do, need to do, ought to do, better do. So
what does it mean for you and I to bring forth fruit necessary for repentance? What does that mean? It means that we are called to profess the worthlessness of all human activity, of the flesh, in any form. Now this is why there's only the two theologies. There's the theology of the cross and the theology of glory. They can never meet. They can never even touch. They can't even be in the same room. Everybody understand? Only people of the way understand this. Only people that know that Jesus Christ is in them. All right. Anybody have any response to any of this? Everybody understand it perfectly.
Just picking up on last night and morning meetings, I find that without that, questions and responses from people in this room and big group or wherever, that it's almost like nothing has happened. If it doesn't touch you anywhere and enough to where you can at least say something, then
it's just a monologue.
There's no blood flowing. It's like it's almost sick or something. And I find I need it. I guess is where I'm going is that it makes a complete huge difference in my understanding.
Well, this is what I've been trying to get us to do for 35 years. Dialogue. Open confrontation, if necessary. And this is what we did at first. And man, were there arguments. Anybody else? So you understand what the stumbling block is.
But you judge about when Christ was called the stumbling block?
Well, we talked about that. He's a stumbling block to the human race, but the stumbling block to him is self-realization, the scandalon. Yeah, we spent a lot of time on that.
I was thinking about when you were talking about the stumbling block, I was thinking about the vow of poverty that we take, that whatever you need, I'll help you get. But we do that at the same time letting people know that their dreams and their plans.
Well, but you can't. You have to let them go for it. You have to push it. You can't let them just...
So then are we helping them self-actualize?
No, we're helping him come to the end. Because, but if I'm teaching you how to do something, here's how you have a nice family, here's how you raise Christian children, here's how you do this, here's how you get rich in the name of Jesus, then that's the stumbling block, because it enhances self-realization. Now, I'm not talking about for people who have lived. I'm talking about for the kids. That's who we push and say, go do it. Go do everything. Run to the end of time. But if the people that come here, I mean, that as adults, they should know that.
because the world has been crucified unto them and they have been crucified unto the world. All right, I got to go. Take a big guy. I'll be gone all night.
Where are you going?
They get that